This is Startup Nation Radio, the show to learn about how to start and grow your own business.
You got to follow your own compass. You got to execute on what you really believe in.
Well, the principles of entrepreneurship, I think, are universal.
Entrepreneurs benefit from learning from each other.
Hey, Rich, you're calling in from The Nation. What do you have for us this week?
Well, first of all, The Nation is alive and well. Entrepreneurs are jamming it.
The time is now.
The real question is, do you have the confidence, the resources, and the support?
It's always a good time to get into business.
It's time for Startup Nation with Jeff Sloan.
It is indeed time for another edition of Startup Nation Radio. This is the show that's all about helping you turn your dreams of owning a business of your own into a reality. Now, today we're going to focus on franchising. A lot of people want to get into business. They don't know what business to start. Hey, how about becoming an entrepreneur as a franchise owner? There you go. Take someone's proven formula and put it to work for you. We're going to learn all about it. We're going to be speaking with a guy known as the Franchise King on this edition of Startup Nation Radio. Stick with us. Great show ahead.
Welcome back to Startup Nation on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, Jeff Sloan.
Okay, welcome to a great edition of Startup Nation Radio. Today, as I mentioned in the opening, we're going to focus on franchising. You know, there's a lot of people out there that want to get into business, but I hear it all the time. What business do I start? What do I do? Well, franchising is where you pursue a proven formula, business that's proven to work, and you buy a license to the franchise, you pay a fee, etc., and you become a franchise owner, and you follow a formula of proven business success. Still have to execute, still have to be an entrepreneur, in my opinion anyway. We're going to talk to a guest who's an expert in franchising in just a moment, and we're going to find out all about the pros and cons for franchising to see if it's for you. Now, today's show is always sponsored by Comerica Bank and Pappas Financial. Pappas Financial has been a trusted advisor to business owners for over 40 years. They guide entrepreneurs on strategies that protect their businesses and personal assets, implement company benefit solutions, and provide a roadmap for businesses to set their succession plans and investment strategies. Get started right and stay on track. To help you do just that, get Pappas Financial on your team. Reach out to Norm and his team at 248-539-8292 and tell them that Startup Nation sent you. All right, with no further ado, we've got the Franchise King on this show, and we're talking franchising today. Joel LaBava, welcome to Startup Nation Radio.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
All right, so how do you get to be the Franchise King?
Well, it's funny because when I'm quoted in articles, et cetera, it's always the self-proclaimed Franchise King.
But it's amazing it's how totally that works, right?
Totally untrue. I can't crown myself. Well, now I can because I'm a king, but basically a gentleman at the largest chamber of commerce in Ohio that I belong to, he saw me from across the room at this huge business expo, and as I was walking in the door, he yelled out like full volume, "Hey, it's the Franchise King!"
And there
and
you
I
go.
Looked around, who's he talking about here? And the name stuck, and a friend of mine told me to trademark that bad boy quickly, which I did, and the rest is history.
The rest is history. Well, we've got the Franchise King on this show because we have a lot of people in the Startup Nation community. You know, they're listening in. They've got this dream of starting a business. They're leaning forward. They're dialed in, but they don't quite know what business to start. That's a huge challenge. I mean, you know, what business idea do I pursue? How do I know if it's going to work? How do I do it? You know, so franchising, as I understand it, you're going to help us frame this out, but franchising is a way that you can follow a proven formula. You buy in effect, and if you follow the formula and you execute, your odds of success go way, way up, and you don't have to worry about, am I pursuing a good idea or not? You already know that going in. So let's talk a little bit about who franchising is right for, Joel. Who's it right for and who isn't it right for in terms of the entrepreneurial community out there?
Well, it's really, you know, as you know, Jeff, the franchising, any kind of business ownership is not right for most people because, you know, there is risk involved. And just because folks are getting, quote, a business in a box, you know, kind of a ready-made system, it doesn't mean that there's a guarantee of success.
That's for sure. Some franchises fail. I mean, that's absolutely right. So you still have to execute, as we said.
That's right. It happens. You know, there are failures in franchising, but there are ways to lower, and I'm sure you and I will get into it. But the most important thing for people that want to buy a franchise or want to be able to piggyback on someone else's hopefully wonderful idea, they have to be rule followers. You know, that's why a lot of people that have worked in corporate America can become successful franchisees, successful franchise owners, as long as they are comfortable in the corporate setting where there's a lot of layers and a lot of rules that they have to follow. That is really the prerequisite. Can you and will you follow the rules? And there are tons of them. So that is really, I think, the most important thing for folks that are thinking about looking at franchise ownership as a way to be their own bosses.
Okay, let's break that down for a second. Follow the rules. So the rules might be something like when you buy into a franchise, it says you're going to produce this product or deliver this service this very specific way. It's prepackaged. It's tight. You can't color outside the lines. It's basically you deliver it this way. And you've got to run the business this way. Your business location needs to be set up this way. Your people need to wear this uniform. You follow that formula. So the downside is there's not a lot of room for coloring outside the lines and being creative. The upside is if you follow those, as you call them, rules, your odds of success go way up, and it's really about executing. You still got to deliver the really, really hard work and go in there and slug it out every day. But if you do that, your odds of success go way up. And so if you're the kind of entrepreneur that's willing to put in the really hard work, that franchise, but maybe don't need to be or want to be creative or don't have an idea for a business of your own, if you're the kind of person that can follow the rules and really work hard, your odds of success go way up and franchising might be for you. Does that kind of frame it out?
Yeah. And, you know, there's been a huge argument over the years about that success rate in franchising as opposed to starting an independent business. I believe in my heart that the right person in the right geographical location who purchased the right franchise and who execute the system will have a better chance of success than if he or she would have tried it with an independent business. But there's still no guarantee, and a lot of people make the mistake of, well, I'll write the franchise fee check, the upfront fee, and I will execute and follow, and I'm going to be successful no matter what because I feel it.
Yeah.
It's not magic.
It's not magic.
You really have to make some good choices.
Yep, definitely. Now, what you do is help people understand if franchising for them. You understand maybe you help them understand which franchise might be right for them, and you assist and guide them through the process. And we're going to learn more specifically about exactly the services you provide when we come back after this break. So stick with us. We've got the Franchise King on Startup Nation Radio.
You're listening to Startup Nation Radio on WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, welcome back to Startup Nation Radio. We're talking franchising today, and not only talking franchising, we're talking to Joel LaBava, the Franchise King, to help us understand if franchising is right for you. So, Joel, we kind of framed out what franchising is, how you might think about it if you're an entrepreneur out there wanting to start a business and you know, to go down the road of, is franchising right for me, or is maybe starting my own business a better option for me? Let's talk about this now. They can come to you, and you're going to do what for them?
I'm going to help them really simplify the process because it's big. Buying a franchise is a big deal, and trying to figure out what the heck people should look at can get very, very confusing, especially because of the internet. It's a plus and a minus, but there are so many franchise opportunity websites, and clients of mine tend to really get confused quickly. So I try to simplify the process. Now, very important. I'm not a broker. I'm not a matchmaker. People don't come to me for specific franchises they should be looking at. I help more in a general way. I kind of get to know them, and I tell them, maybe this is a sector you should look at. You know, you have an operations background. Maybe a consulting sales training type franchise isn't for you because you want to be kind of in the background. So we talk about ideas once in a while. Because I know so many franchise companies, once in a while I'll say, you know what, you should look at this one. I know the folks there, and it's an idea. It doesn't mean that I'm recommending it, but it could be a good fit. So that is kind of where I come in with people that maybe don't know where to start.
So as instead of being a broker, where right. you might take a percentage of sales or a fee if you buy into the franchise, would it be right. fair to say you're a consultant and they pay you on a consulting basis for guidance yeah. and advice? Okay.
Yes.
Just want to make sure everyone understands.
I know it's strange, but I'm actually paid for my expertise.
Yeah, there you go. Amazing.
Free.
Right. Okay. So someone comes to you and they right. say, and they call up, they say, now, okay, I'm in this conundrum. I want to start a business. I've gotten inspired by Startup Nation. I know a little bit about right. business. I'm dangerous now. You know, I'm ready to make that commitment. I think I want to go the franchising route. They call you up and they say, Joel, you know, just that. I think I want to go the franchising route. Help me understand what my options are. Help me understand what it's going to be like, how I go about it. What do I do? What does it take? You know, am I right for this? And which direction should I pursue? And then there's all different kinds of franchising avenues, from products to restaurants to services. So you would help guide them through the process of understanding and which direction they ought to go in, right?
Definitely, including that most important topic of money and budget. And I want to make sure that people understand that they have enough money to not only start the business, but they don't forget things like household expenses, et cetera. Because when you open a new franchise, you're not making money from day one. So you've got to be able to cover your expenses, both business expenses and personal expenses. So I do go through that as part of the process.
And what is the... So I want to, now I'm committed to going the franchise route. Paint for me, just at a very high level in general, what are some of the options in franchising today? I mean, I mentioned there's services and products and restaurants, but you know, fast food, et cetera. But tell me, I mean, the playing field is broader than ever, right? There are more options than ever today. What?
Yeah.
Tell us kind of, you know, at a very high level, what those options are and who might be right for each.
I'll give you an example. Okay, you mentioned before the interview started that you were having some rough weather, and Detroit was getting hit with snow and rain and all this exciting stuff. There's probably going to be some homes or some businesses that experience some mild flooding or some major flooding because of sewer backups or drain backups, et cetera. Mm-hmm. There are actually companies out there that go in by a referral from an insurance company, usually, and clean up floods,
mm-hmm.
water damage, etc. So someone who is maybe well-networked in their local community and is outgoing and has no problem calling on insurance agents and getting to know people at the water company, the fire department, etc., someone like that could be good for a franchise, like, for instance, a ServPro. They're a very well-known name. Where it's not an expensive franchise to get into necessarily, but it's one that provides a service that is always needed.
Right. And so let's say that I want to provide that, or I'm capable of providing that kind of service because of my skill set, my interest area, et cetera.
Right.
I could start a business on my own. I could do that on my own. I don't
Absolutely.
Have to have a franchise.
You sure
okay.
can.
So the difference would be if I started on my own, I've got to create a business name. I've got to take out an ad in the, you know, in the yellow pages at the very least. I've got to get out
right.
to, you know, Google search. I got to be found. So I've got to think about how people are going to find me. That's one challenge. The second thing is I've got to think about my fee schedule. I've got to think about what I'm going to provide, what I'm going to charge, et cetera. And is this going to make money? I've got to have kind of a business plan, right? I mean, but
yeah.
or I could go the franchising route. And if I go to a ServPro, just generally, I'm going to, you know, what's that going to cost me to go in that route instead? Just generally, what are some of the ranges of fees?
$150,000 to $200,000 total investment all in
okay.
with a franchise in that industry.
Okay, so that's significant. That's significant.
Right.
Now, what? Okay, so now I hear that number and I go, oh my God, I'm not doing that. I'm going to start one on my own.
How am I going to do that?
How am I going to do that? So we're going to talk about how in a second, but first I want to start, why? Why do I pay that fee as opposed to doing it on my own?
Because the systems are set in place already. You don't have to figure out who to call on to get referrals. There is a step-by-step process that is part of what you get. It's in the operations manual. You don't have to create your own operations manual. That is huge. It saves so much time. One thing about franchising that a lot of people don't mention is speed to market. You can get in business fast and be up and running within a couple months usually.
Right.
If you do something on your own, it takes a longer time, and you have no idea when things are really going to start gelling.
Right. So on day one, if I started on my own, I'm probably sitting there, even with the inclement weather and whatever else drives business to people who provide this service, I could be sitting there and the phone's not ringing at all. If I get into ServPro, for example, and we're just using them as an example. I could call, as a customer, I call the 800 number for ServPro. I say I'm in, you know, XYZ, Michigan or Ohio, whatever it may be, and I need a service provider. They're going to send me, right?
That's right.
I got business on day one. So I've got this investment up front, and the why to pay this investment is that I'm going to be in business and rolling right away, again, as you put it, following the rules.
You are, and you're also going to be able to set up a referral network a lot faster because they're going to show you how in their formal training program.
Okay. Now, we get to the how in the world am I going to come up with $150,000? To pay into this, to have the privilege of being able to have that advantage. How does that get, I mean, now obviously, one way is you tap your personal savings, you tap whatever else you can tap in order to come up with $150,000. But are there ways for people out there who just don't happen to have $150,000 laying around, how do they get into a franchise and how does that get, is there a way to finance that?
There sure is. You know, the Small Business Administration guarantees loans for banks, not for people, but for banks, local lenders that are tied in with the SBA. So that's one way. But when I talk to people at first, you know, I tell them you're not going to need $150,000 or $200,000 cash to get into a franchise. But you better be able to come up with between $50,000 and $100,000 of your own money, and then be open to financing the rest. So that usually, you know, people, I can feel over the phone that they kind of relax in their seat a little bit, like, oh, okay, I didn't know that I didn't have to pay cash. So yeah, you leverage some of it, which is what all smart business people do. You use other people's money.
Of course. And do you assist in help setting up, you know, first understanding what the options are, and then do you provide direct help in getting that financing?
I don't provide direct help, but I do refer them to folks that I know in lending.
Right.
That may be able to help them.
Okay. And not all franchises are 150 on day one. I mean, I know there are those out there that you can get into for a lot less too as well. I mean, you know, maybe they're smaller business opportunities, maybe they're not as proven, but there are things you can get into for $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 as opposed to the $150,000 range, right?
Well, there are franchise opportunities that are in that, you know, $50,000 range or less, but that's only the franchise fee. It's not going to include equipment, marketing,
right,
et cetera.
Right.
For instance, you can get into business coaching for under $100,000,
right,
because it's home-based and there's not a lot of inventory. Like none.
Right.
But you have to know that just because it's home-based. It is a sales business. You have to get out of the house. You've got to call on people to get clients.
Okay. I want to talk more about those other franchising opportunities in just a minute. We're going to run to a quick break, and we're coming right back with you, Joel. Hang with us. We'll be right back with you in a minute.
It's Startup Nation on WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, welcome back to Startup Nation Radio. Talking franchising today with Joel LaBava, the Franchise King. By the way, Joel, first, thanks for being on. Really appreciate it. And how do people get a hold of you? You're a consultant in this area. If people want to get into franchising, they reach you how?
The best way is online, thefranchiseking.com.
Good domain name. It's good.
Thank you.
You are the king.
I've owned it for about 10 years.
You're the king. All right. Yeah. Joel, we started to talk, you know, we talked in the last segment about one opportunity for franchising costing in the $150,000 range or so. And now we're starting to talk about other options where you could either be maybe part-time, maybe home-based. And I want to get into some of those things because we have a great segment of our community at Startup Nation that maybe is just want to dip their toe in the water, start a part-time thing, you know, not ready to make the huge commitment yet. You were talking about coaching as one opportunity. So if I want to... Now, think of that. I mean, okay, I've got certain expertise and maybe whatever it may be, helping people start a business, coaching them through that process. Are you telling me there's franchise opportunities out there instead of me doing that on my own? I can go out and buy into a franchise and be part of a network of coaches that do this kind of thing? And then
yes.
I could tell me about
yes.
that. We want to
yes,
hear about
it. There
that.
Are. One of the names, the growth coach. Now, you know, any name I give you, I don't have a relationship with unless I share that I do, but I don't have a relationship with the growth coach. But it's an example.
Right.
You can get into it for under $100,000, and you can focus on your expertise. Let's say, for instance, someone was downsized from AT&T, and they know telecom, and they know business operations. Maybe they can go into small businesses in their local area and help with telecommunications needs and maybe suggest the right kind of systems and programs for people. So there are opportunities where you can use your real niche-based expertise. Home-based.
And I think that's cool, right?
Right.
Home-based and could
home-based.
Be, could it be, it can be part-time, right?
Well, I do get that question a lot. I don't recommend part-time franchising. I think it's too hard to make money at it because, you know, you're not as focused. You know, I think mm-hmm. you really have to go all in. That's mm-hmm. just my opinion, but I think you have to go all in and just do it.
Okay, let's go back to this coaching thing for a minute. So I've got some expertise. You mentioned telecom, for example. I can be at home. I buy into the franchise. Tell me specifically, what is the franchise going to do for me?
They're going to provide a formal training system at headquarters, an operations manual, marketing materials. I would hope that they're going to give you a locally branded website that you could use to collect leads with. They will probably teach you how to set up a newsletter for people. And the most important thing they're going to teach is how to find potential clients, because without clients, you have a home-based business where you are sitting at home, and that is never good.
And that's really the key, I think, is getting to, and because I mentioned it earlier, when you go out on business on your own, you're allowed the creative, you know, freedoms to call the business whatever you want, to do it any way you want, obviously within the parameters of the law. You know, you're able to do your own thing your own way. And that's really cool for a lot of people. You know,
yeah.
A lot of people want to do that. It's part of self-expression and everything else. But boy, the advantage of being able to open the doors, if you will, figuratively and or literally, and to have customers on day one, that's really, and not only just customers on day one, but regular and repeat business coming from the overall franchise umbrella. To me, that seems like the really big thing here.
You're right, and in my head, it makes it a no-brainer, but it really is not for everyone. Like, for instance, you and I are entrepreneurial. I was a franchisee. For a little while, it was okay, but then I decided, you know what? Man, I do marketing better than the franchisor. Mm-hmm. I can do some of the stuff a lot better. Why am I paying these guys? And then as I look back over my life, you know what? I was always entrepreneurial. I never followed the rules. I made the rules.
Right. If you don't follow the rules, you make the rules instead. This probably
right.
isn't for you, right? You're going to be
right.
banging your head, you know, against the franchise owner all the time. The franchisor. Let's talk about the fees for a second. Not only do you have the upfront fee to get started, but you have to pay a percentage of your sales back to the franchisor as well, right?
That's right, and that's where the rubber hits the road for the franchisor. The franchise fee, average $30,000-$35,000, that is really not a profit center for franchisors. Now, if it's a young franchisor who maybe has 5 or 10 franchise units up and running, franchise fees kind of keep the lights on for a while, but the royalty stream, and it's real simple math. Let's say that a franchisor has 500 units up and running, and each unit is paying 5% of their gross sales every month. So we'll keep it simple. So 500 units times 5%, all right, it's $25,000 each unit. Annualize that, and you have many millions of dollars coming into a franchisor
yeah.
each and every year.
So let's
that's where the money is.
Let me back up. Let me make sure I understand. So let's
yeah.
say I buy into the franchise. My business
right.
does $1 million in gross sales. Pick a number.
Yeah.
You know, $1 million in gross sales in a given year. I
yep.
have to pay out, if I've got this right, and that's $1 million
yep.
in sales, so I pay out $50,000 in fees back to the
yep.
right 5%. So
right.
if that franchisor has, you know, as you say, 500. Right. 500. I mean,
right.
I get it. I mean, the math is, you know, I understand why
it's
someone
crazy.
Would want to be. Yeah. And so let's talk about that. What if, Just what if you get someone on the phone that says, listen, I don't want to be a franchisee. I don't want to buy into someone else's formula. I think I've got a concept that I can turn into a franchisable business, and I can be the franchisor. What do you say to that?
I get calls like that at least 4 or 5 times every month. I say, okay, that's fine. What is your idea? What do you have? The usual suspects. We have a pizza place.
Yeah, of course. Right.
And we use my grandmother from Italy.
Right.
My grandmother's pizza recipe.
Right.
And the sauce is the best you've ever tasted. I say, great. Guess what?
Yeah.
The other 8,000 franchisors, it's not that many, but the other ones say it's the exact same thing. Mama's old recipe, and we have the best sauce. Okay, so now tell me what's really different.
Right.
Then you got nothing.
Right.
There's nothing there.
Right. It sounds good, but it's not easy to break out, is it? I mean, it's really, really tough. If I did want to break out, however, and let's say my sauce was better than anybody else's, the key, as I understand it, is you would probably say to them, listen, get one unit up and running, prove the model, and then let's talk about whether it's franchisable. Do I have that right?
Yes, make it a prototype. Open that, and then even better, Jeff, you are right on. Even better. Now I want you to open a second one, and I want you to document everything you do, which in essence is creating an operations manual as you go. Let's see if you can duplicate location number one. Then maybe you got something.
Right, because when you hand it off to location number two, you're now relying on a team that's independent of you. I mean, you're not there cooking the sauce every day. Someone else is. And can they cook it the way you do and deliver it the way you do?
And Jeff, are you comfortable giving away your secret sauce?
Ah, yes, exactly.
Right?
I like that, yes. Are you comfortable giving away your secret sauce? That's exactly right, because now it's out in the public domain. And I said, do they cook it the same way? And it's really true. I mean, if someone, the touch point with any particular franchise brand is that single store. If I go to my local McDonald's and my Big Mac and the secret sauce is not made the way I expect it to be made when I had my McDonald's in some other location, boy, that's problematic.
Huge, huge problems. We have an issue.
We have an issue. Right, and it reflects back on the franchisor. And so the franchisor, the original store, the person with the idea, then franchising out to other people who are running those businesses, boy, in exchange for those royalties coming back to them, or those license fees or franchise fees coming back to them every year, they've got to really be on top of quality control and making sure each of their franchise units are delivering consistent with the overall brand expectations.
That's right, and it's easier said than done, and that's why you have to start out small. There were a lot of franchisors that I worked with in the past that within 2 years, you know, had 100 units. That's really fast growth, so they better be able to manage it from a technology point where the networks are in place and with physical people that can go out into the field reps, to make sure everything is on the up and up.
Exactly. Well, okay, Joel. We're coming back with more. We've got the Franchise King on Startup Nation Radio. We're going to run to a break, and we'll be right back with more on franchising on this edition of Startup Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Startup Nation on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, Jeff Sloan.
All right, welcome back to Startup Nation Radio, brought to you as always by Pappas Financial and Comerica Bank. Today, focused on franchising, we've got the Franchise King, Joel LaBava. Welcome back to Startup Nation Radio.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay, we're covering a lot of ground here. This is great stuff. If I'm out there listening, I'm starting to get an idea. Is franchising for me or not? And that's the whole idea with this edition of Startup Nation Radio. Okay, let me ask you this. If I decide to buy into a franchise, there's certain things there's a certain aspect in the agreement relating to territory. I mean, I don't want the guy next door doing the same thing I'm doing. How does that all work?
Well, I always tell people to try to get into a franchise that has territory protection. And that means that in the actual franchise agreement, franchise contract, it will say something like, you know, ABC Subs is not allowed to open a new franchise unit within 4 miles of your location. It's in writing. They cannot do it. You can sue them if they do it.
So buying, you need territory protection. That's a key thing. And what do you call the franchise agreement? There's a technical term for it.
Well, the franchise disclosure document is the entire document, the FDD.
There you go.
But the agreement is part of it. It's just at the end of it.
Okay, great. So one key thing to look for in an agreement, if you decide to move forward, is the territory protection.
Protection.
What about other things, key things in the agreement? I mean, obviously you want to pick a franchise that's got track record and history. You want to talk to other franchisees out there who are who have already bought into the system. You probably want to interview some of them to make sure that this is right for you and that it's going the way you think it's going to go and that their experience has been good. But what else in terms of the due diligence and the agreement are key things you need to look for at a very high level to make sure you're protected?
Well, I don't want to get your listeners all paranoid, but they really should look to see if there's any litigation going on between franchisees and the franchisor.
I think that's smart. Yeah.
Either way. But
either
on
way.
Both sides.
Right.
Is the franchisor suing a bunch of franchisees and why? Or are some franchisees suing the franchisor and why? It'll be disclosed.
Yeah. And that's just smart, just plain smart. I mean, there you go. If there's issues, that's one way to know that there are issues. I think that's smart. Okay. What else am I due diligence? I mean, I talked about interviewing other franchisees.
Right.
You would, I would assume you recommend that, right?
Yes. Yes. I have books and an online course that go through question by question everything you need to ask existing franchisees when you're contacting them. To this day, Jeff, with all the wonderful information that's on the internet about how to do research on franchising or any kind of business, there are still people who call me and say, "Yeah, I'm about to sign this franchise agreement. Is there anything that I need to do beforehand?" They said, "Well, if you talk to some franchisees that are actually in the business that wrote the check."
Right.
Well, no.
Right. I mean,
really?
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
It happens. So
amazing.
That is the most important part of the research.
Okay. And then, so now I've done my research. I've done my due diligence. I'm in. There's not any meaningful litigation. I've talked to people. They say this is great. Now I'm ready to take a look at that agreement. What you mentioned territory protection. What else at a high level should I look for? You mentioned royalties should be in the 5% range off of gross sales, right?
Well, it depends on the type of franchise. Like the coaching franchises that I mentioned before, those royalties are going to be higher because they're not like products involved. So, you know, that might be 10% of your sales, but it all evens out.
Right. So let's break that down because you don't have the costs.
Right.
Right. So there aren't the costs. So it can be a higher percentage going back to the franchisor.
Right.
Okay. So 5-10%, something in that range.
Yeah.
What about are there performance requirements on me, the franchisee? You know, what if I'm not just performing exactly the way, you know, some of these other guys are? I haven't quite gotten up to speed yet. I'm struggling a little bit. Can I be booted?
You can. And some franchisors are a little easier about that than others. I mean, some franchisors, if you don't hit the sales targets as spelled out in your franchise agreement, they can say, "We're terminating you." However, a smart franchisor would never want to do that because the terminated franchisee is going to be part of the franchise disclosure document. It must be disclosed. And if there are a lot of them, if I was the potential franchise owner, a potential franchisee, I would be like, "Wait a second, why are they terminating franchisees? What's going on? And why are franchisees leaving? Are they not making the money? Is that why they couldn't pay royalties?" I mean, so there's a lot of stuff that goes in it. That's why this is crucial. Make sure you hire a franchise attorney before you sign.
Because, as you just mentioned, there are going to be performance requirements in that agreement that I've got to meet. Sales levels.
Right.
Right.
And you need to make sure that you're protected.
Right. And what about, you know, as part of the fee that I'm paying to the franchisor, what about support, hand-holding? You know, let's say I am struggling a little bit, but I mean well, I'm giving it a great effort, I'm a good guy, played by the rules, as you said. Do they provide any support? They the franchisor, as part of my, you know, fee that I'm paying them, am I going to get any safety net or help or guidance from them? Or is it, you know, dog eat dog out there and I'm on my own?
It's kind of both. It's not, there's no built-in safety net because, you know, we're all adults. We all make the decision to go into business if that's our choice. So there's no guarantees. But most smart franchisors do provide a real good amount of support, whether it's technology support, whether it's sales support, whether it's my store is struggling, what am I doing wrong kind of support, where a team will come in from headquarters and say, you know, here's what you're doing wrong. Let's do this. Because being a franchisor, it's kind of a selfish thing because you need the franchisee to be successful so you can make money. So the franchisee is being selfish because the franchisee wants to make money. It's kind of a weird relationship. They both have to win because unhappy franchisees that aren't making money, it's a problem because the franchise system will never grow.
Right.
It's got to grow.
Right.
So,
right. So there's kind of an incentive for the franchisor to make sure you succeed. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's very self-motivated on both parts. The franchisee says, you know, this franchisor better do a good job because I'm investing my money. And the franchisor says, I hope I'm picking a good franchisee because I need to make money from that person.
Yeah. What about location? You know, we talked about territory protection, but from territory to territory, there's got to be just better inherent locations. How do I know if a particular, franchise opportunity, let's say this, let's go back to your ServPro thing, and I'm the guy that provides a service to, help people with their basements when they leak or whatever. Okay, now let's say I'm living in a suburban area where around me are all fresh-built homes. You know, 90% of the homes in my area are relatively new. I would imagine that market's not as good as if I'm in some area where the homes are 80 years old on average and maybe a lot of remodels and so on, but the basements, you know, are old and probably need more attending to. I mean, that's an issue, right? There are territories that are better than others for certain franchises.
Right. And the great franchisors of today know what territories work and what territories don't. And it behooves them to help the franchisee pick a great territory, because if they do, they both win.
Okay, so I can look to them to give me some guidance, and I can expect that they've done some research and they've issued the territories that they believe are going to work, and I can buy into one of those territories.
You can, or you can say, you know what, since I live here, I think you guys are wrong. I think this would be a better territory.
Interesting.
So maybe the franchisor will invest a little time and money to double check to see maybe it is better.
Interesting. Okay, great. Well, we covered lots of ground, lots of ground. There was lots of ground to cover, and I think we really covered it, hopefully, for the audience out there. We helped frame out what franchising is all about. If you need more help, if you now think franchising is you, Joel, give it to us one more time. You can be reached at thefranchiseking.com. Do I have that right?
You sure do.
Okay, right on. Thanks for your time. We appreciate all the good guidance and information. We'll be checking back with you regularly as an expert for the Startup Nation community. We really appreciate it, Joel.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Okay, right on. Now you go out there and start up your business. Now, whether it's franchising or your own business idea, an idea of your own creation, the time is now to start it up. Go get it. Go make your dreams come true. We'll be back with another great edition of Startup Nation Radio regularly every week. Don't stop believing.